Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
I'm excited that you're excited. And I'm excited. I didn't even need to say anything. You guys all circled up here. Look at this. Because we want to build some community tonight. We want you all scrunched in. So I'm just going to ask during the message, make sure you're coming up, you're pressing in, you're paying attention. Tonight is different. There are no chairs. I know that. That was my doing. So your butt cheeks will go numb. Deal with it. You'll get feeling again. They won't fall off. I promise. All right. So one really, really exciting thing on the back table. There are applications for Nashville 2016. Make sure to grab one or two or four and fill those out and bring it back completed, because this is going to be an amazing trip, an amazing experience, and it's going to be one of the most economically feasible trips you will ever do. What does that mean? It means it's cheap and it's really, 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 really good. You're not going to get another experience at this price point again. I can tell you that. Sign up. This is an amazing experience. If funds are an issue, let me know. We have some scholarships for that that you can apply for. And tomorrow, a few of you guys are going to winter camp. Who's already packed? Who hasn't packed yet? Who's like halfway? That's me. I'm like halfway. All right. A few very, very, very important things. You do not want to miss this because you'll miss winter camp. There are packing lists on the back. You need to be at the church. That means here. Tomorrow. No later than 3:30. If you can be earlier, that'd be great because we have a lot of luggage to load. We will be leaving at 4, with or without you. So be here before 4. If you show up at 4, you're going to be that guy running behind the charter bus. Wait, wait. You don't want to be that guy. I don't want you to be that guy. Don't do that. Don't be that guy. So what time are you going to be here? Before 3:30. I will say it one more time. Before 3:30. There we go. All right. Man, I'm so excited for winter camp. It's going to be great. No later than 3:30. Don't be that person. I cannot say this enough. 3:30. You're going to wake up tonight and be like, 3:30. And it'll be like 3:30 in the morning. Don't be here at 3:30 in the morning, 3:30 in the afternoon. All right, have you guys ever, have you ever known a person who asks you to do something and then they just do it? Some of you are like, that's my mom. Yeah, don't be that guy. Your mom asks you to do something so you would do it. What I mean is somebody that's like, hey, I really want you to do this task. Let me show you how. And then they do the task. And then next time they ask you to do it, they still do it. It's like they can't let go of control. You guys getting where I'm going with this? Okay, you've experienced some of this. I know it's weird without chairs. You're like, huh. It's okay, just sit still. I had a boss named Dennis. Everybody say Dennis. Dennis was what many people would consider a micromanager. And he was short too. But he was a micromanager in the sense that he was one of these people. He wanted things done a certain way, which is fine, but then he couldn't let go of control and let somebody do it. If it was out of his talent bank, out of his skills, he would just stand behind you and direct you on how he thinks it should be done. So I remember one time, it was when I worked for an industrial company. I was removing this 20-foot-long hydraulic lift cylinder. It's for like the man booms that you see on construction sites. The dudes go like 100 feet in the air. Like, I used to fix those. So I'm removing the cylinder, and a pin that holds it in, the pin's like this big around, is seized. It's like this long. And so you get out the torches. It's awesome. Heat it all up. You get one guy holding this massive thing and like two guys with sledgehammers beating on the end of it. Like, we're going to get this thing out. And Dennis, not able to do the work, is standing there. He's like, no, you need to heat this point more. No, you need to do this. No, you're doing this wrong. He felt it was important to stand there and tell us how to do our jobs. Cylinder out. Oh, it's frustrating. He knew that I was capable. He knew the other guys were capable, but he couldn't release control to let us do it. I wonder how often to God we're like Dennis. How often do we do that to God? See, he has it all figured out. He has these plans. He has all these great things that he's given you expectations of. And he puts them in us, and then we turn around and we tell him, Lord, this is how you're going to accomplish that. It's like Jesus saying, hey, I'm going to use you. And we're like, oh, great, but only if it's this way. I'm willing, but. Send me, but. I'll do that, but. See, it doesn't work that way because he knows the desires of your heart, but he also knows how to best fulfill the expectations that he's placed in you. He knows that. See, our misinterpretations of how Jesus can fill our expectations can hinder us from having them being fulfilled. I believe we can hold back God from those things happening. Some of you are like, well, can't hold back God. There's some things God can't do, right? He can't create a rock big enough he can't throw. He can't force you to love him. He can't take over your free will. This falls into a free will category. You need to release some control to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this amazing group of young people who are here tonight. Lord, I just ask that as we have these great expectations of you, you'll show us how just to let you move, to let you do your thing. Help us to let go of control in our lives, God, and just give the reins to you. We have a great record of making a mess of things, Lord, but you have an even better record of fixing them. And so, Lord, we just give you our lives, and we ask tonight that you'll speak straight to our hearts. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have this way of just expecting these amazing things from God. So we talked about this last week. We talked about expect great things from God, and you need to. But the problem is a lot of times when we have these great expectations, we also have the expectation attached to that that'll be done our way, in our time. Zach, you want to come off the rocks there, man? Thank you. So in doing that, we need to learn how to let God be God. We need to learn how to let Jesus just move. So how do we learn? How do we do that? How do we just give it over to Jesus? How do we allow him to move? Some would say, well, God's all powerful. He can just do it anyways. That's a really poor excuse. He can, but he chooses to allow free choice in your life because true love is always that choice. You have the choice to allow God to move in your life, or you have the choice to hinder that movement. But you have a choice. There's no middle ground there. So the best way to look at this is see what happened from people who have expected great things from God and then seen it come to be. See, the early church had it right in allowing God to move, in allowing Jesus to do great things. How do we know this? Acts 1:8. I mentioned this last week. Fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Acts 1:8 says, you, who? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Holy Spirit comes on who?
You.
And you, who? There we go. Will be my witnesses. Be my what? Be my credible representative to the entire world because you are showing them Jesus firsthand in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. See, what we see happened is that's the promise in Acts chapter 1. We see it fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. They expected great things from the Lord, and they allowed him to move, and he fulfilled it. So in that, we see this explosion in Acts chapter 2 of Christianity just launching out. Greatest evangelism this world has ever seen. Explosion. But it's also the same mission that we have as believers. Jesus gives us this exact same promise That's why we try to make it personal in this. But who? You. But who? Me. Because this promise is to you. So Acts 1:8 promise. Jesus gives to us. It's not there for us to live an average life. Remember this from last week? It's not there for an average existence. It's there for greatness. It's there for greatness. So what happened in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, if you're taking notes, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up there. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So some of you are giving me a funny look. You're like, Pastor Carl, there's nothing in there about what we do. There is. We're going to dig in a little deeper. Some of you may not be seeing how this ties in to allowing God to accomplish great things. We're going to get there, but we need to break this down. There's four things, four quick points tonight, four things I want you to understand that the early church had right in allowing the great expectations we have for God to be fulfilled. And the first thing that you notice in this is that they were all together in one place. They're all together in one place. They had unity. They had community. Think about that for a minute. Why would it matter? You have 120 people from different social classes, different family structures, different economic backgrounds, some different culture backgrounds, all together for 10 days, 16 hours a day, in one place with no divisions. How do we know that? Because it tells us a little bit later in Acts there was no division among them, and that was after they added several thousand into their number. There was no divisions among them. This equates to about 3 years of church services. 3 years of church services in 10 days. No divisions. They were able to love one another. Their unity was to that of Jesus. They expected great things in unison. Unity allows God's people to work together. Some of you can't even agree long enough on minor things in here as to who gets the last monster. It's kind of a small division, really, but we need unity. Think of it this way. You can tie two cats' tails together. Do you have unity? No, you have union. There's a difference. See, we need to work together in the kingdom. We need to be supporting one another, encouraging one another forward in our pursuits of Christ. We need to be settling petty disputes like adults that are God-honoring. So that person sitting next to you that you got all hacked off at yesterday, talk it out, work it out. Why? Because it's important to, because the Holy Spirit moves when there's unity. See, community itself is a compound word. I want you to get that. There's two parts to that word. The root word means commonness. The first part, com, means commonness. It means in common. What that's saying with the second part, unity, when you put it in there, is they were all together unified to the point where that's the common thread. It's uncommon to be separate from what's going on there. They had community. Because they had unity. We can learn from that. But unity takes us being together. It takes us worshiping together. It takes us hearing the word together. It takes us having fun together. It takes us eating together. It takes us praying together, because that's what community is. It's doing life together. That's why Rage is a family. It's not a Wednesday night experience. It's a life experience that you are here to journey on with each other. That's community. Some of you need to take better advantage of it. Some of you need to stop taking advantage of it. You get what I'm saying? Because you turn around and you dump all your stuff on other people. Help support somebody else a little bit. We need to help each other along in this walk. Kill the divisions. Be unified in Christ. You want to accomplish great expectations for your life and for winter camp? Be unified. Be unified. Second thing that you notice in here is they hear a sound. They hear a sound. They heard a sound because they were open to hearing. See, if you're not open to hear, you begin to put yourself in danger. You got to be able to listen. So my first car had a loud exhaust on it. I think all my cars have. It's just kind of something I do. I don't know. But I also had my first car. I had a system. Do you guys still talk about systems? You know what this is? Some of you, you're like, okay. So I had these huge subwoofers for bass in my trunk that were crazy awesome loud. I had 6 12-inch competition level subs in my trunk. It was nuts. Shake the gravel off the ground. It was awesome. So when we get the bass cranked up in here and you shove your head in front of that sub, Zach and I were doing it earlier. Still was not as loud as it was inside my car. It was pretty cool. I'd pull into the driveway. It was like, and, you know, you hear me like a block away and the pictures are shaking on the walls. My parents are like, turn it down. They used to get so frustrated. It was awesome. But my dad, he didn't care so much about the loud radio. He cared about the safety. He's like, whatever about your hearing. He was more concerned. He's like, you need to have this turned down because you need to be able to hear if there's an emergency vehicle coming. There's a police officer behind you with his lights on because your radio's too loud. You got to be able to hear. Because if not, you can get in some trouble. So I didn't believe him at first. I didn't believe that I wouldn't notice until I was driving one day and I realized I had not pulled over when there was an ambulance behind me, lights and sirens blaring because my stereo was too loud. And I felt like that guy. So pulled over, and he went flying past me, and giving me a dirty look, and I'm like, fail. The problem is that I couldn't hear. The problem is I wasn't tuned into the right things. So what you find in the scripture is that our lives are similar. Okay, we hear, but there's a lot of noise in our lives that drowned out God's voice. You're hearing, but you're not hearing. That's why it's important to disconnect from text sometimes. That's why it's important to turn your phone off. Just focus on Jesus. That's why we do what we do at winter camp with cell phones. Because we want you to not have outside noise and distractions. We want you to be at a place where God's voice is the one you can tune into. That's why in service experiences here, we ask that you don't use your cell phones during the message or worship. Because we want you to hear God's voice. That's why we ask you to not be a distraction to the people around you, because we want them to be able to hear God's voice without you distracting them and being that guy. Don't be that guy. What noises are you tuning into? What are you listening to in your life? See, the disciples heard before they saw and received, and I believe that hearing, them being open, is what prepared them to be able to see, what prepared them to be able to receive. And the enemy uses distractions, he uses lies, he uses outside voices to try to stop you from hearing. He doesn't want you to hear what God says you are. He doesn't want you to receive that from the Lord because he knows the potential that you have. He wants you to stay just as you are. Don't do that. Shut out the distractions and the noises. See, outside voices get us wrapped up in ourselves because it becomes about what we want, what we desire, what we're feeling versus letting Jesus wrap us up in his presence. When we get wrapped up in the presence of Jesus, he speaks. His spirit moves. It brings an empowerment. And we can go forward with the mission he's given us. If you want Jesus to speak clearly this weekend, start listening for his voice. Start killing the distractions. Start not caring so much about what your friends think and worship anyways. Stop caring so much about what that person next to you is doing and you do what you feel you need to do to seek Jesus. Begin to listen, because when you do that, you're killing distractions. You're opening your ear to hear what God wants you to hear. Third thing that you notice in this is that they saw. How do you see something? You look for it. Exactly. You see because you looked for it. Zach's blind, don't listen to him. See, I think the noise that they heard happened because they were listening, because they were waiting, and they had a unified expectancy together. And with all of that lined up, it allowed them to see. Can you imagine a room with divisions? Can you imagine a room with people who can't get along, and all of a sudden they're hearing all these different outside voices, and then tongues like fire fall into the room? What do you think would happen? Complete panic and chaos, because they don't understand what they're seeing, because they didn't get unified. They didn't listen to hear that God was moving. They saw because they were unified and they were listening. They were open to see. You need to be open to see what God wants to show you, not only this weekend, but just through life. And a lot of times that is partnered with hearing. We hear it and then we see it because we're looking for it. Could be things that you're not doing that you know you need to do, or things that you're doing that you need to know that you're not doing, that you shouldn't be doing, that you won't be doing anymore if you're following Jesus and being obedient. Some of you are like, what? Huh? Maybe what the Lord is trying to show you is in regards to your friends. Maybe ones that you need to reach out to. Maybe you need to be a better one. Or maybe the people that you've allowed into your inner core of influence shouldn't be there. Maybe it's in regards to your family, your school, your career paths. It's important to be open to see what God wants to show you. Be open to see what God wants to show you, not just what you think you want to see. There's a difference in perspective. Because if you're not, you can miss some huge things in your life that God wants to do. You miss some huge things this weekend. You miss some huge things through your life because you're not open to see. The fourth thing I want you to get out of this, last point, is you see that they received. They received. They're unified. They listened. They saw. And they received. And I believe these three must be in place before you're able to receive. They've got to be there. The Holy Spirit empowerment came because of the great expectation they had that God placed in them, told them, promised them, was fulfilled, but it didn't stop there. They received because they were unified, because they were open to hear, because they were looking to see what God wanted, and they opened themselves to something new that Jesus wanted to do in them. A lot of us resist change. Change can be a good thing. Change can be a great thing. And this is a big point that the Pharisees missed. They didn't want things to change, but Jesus came to change all things. Will you open yourself up so God can pour himself out into you this weekend? Will you do that in your life? So I got this jar here. It's a nice jar. Mandy brought it. Isn't it pretty? We have a light made out of these in our house. So jars hold liquids. But there's a problem. Why is this jar not taking this liquid? The jar is supposed to be able to fill it, right? Got to open it, all right? So you guys are smart. Look at this. So this jar needs to be open. So what I'm doing is we're a unified group here, right? We're unified. And what I'm hearing from all of you, so I'm listening now, is I'm listening that you're telling me I need to open this jar. And now I'm seeing that this jar has a lid on it, and it's closed. So I'm seeing this now in my life. And so if I grab this, see, now it takes effort, because I actually have to apply what people are telling me to do. And I take this lid off, this jar is open to receive. It's open. So now what happens? It's going in the jar, and the way God works is he wants to fill you so much that you overflow out. So the overflow is spilling into others around you. This is what the New Testament church understood. This is what God wants to do in you this weekend. See, a jar can only receive if it's open and empty. But you need to begin in this. To be able to receive, you need to begin to empty the things in your life out that are distractions. The things that stop you from hearing and seeing. The things that are preventing unity from happening. And only then will God move. He doesn't want to just fill you. He wants you to overflow. He wants you to burst forward so what you have is contagious to others. That's how the church multiplied so fast. That's how they grew so much. That's how they received the empowerment, as they were willing. They were unified. They were listening. They were seeing. And they were able to receive. Everybody just bow their head and close their eyes. I think tonight there's some of us here who can't receive because we've never opened our heart to Jesus before. And it's this way. Salvation comes to those who are open to receive. Maybe some of you have never done that. Maybe some of you have, and you've began to close your heart. You've fallen back. And I would just challenge you tonight to open your heart. If that's you, you just want to give your life back to Jesus, or maybe come to him for the first time. You're saying, I'm going to open my heart tonight. If that's you, I'm just going to ask that you slip your hand up. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. It's just me and you right now. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Let's just pray this together. Jesus, my heart's open. I give it to you. Father, forgive me. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry that I've wronged you. Please forgive me. Help me to live a life that's honoring to you, that's obedient to you, and places you first. I'll follow you, Jesus. Come into my life. Be my King. Amen. The rest of us, and how I want to end this night tonight, is looking at what things are in our life that are preventing the expectations God's placed in us from happening. Maybe it's a unity issue. Maybe there's some people in this room you owe an apology to, or some people that you need to learn to forgive. Maybe you just got to learn to kill the outside voices. You've got to cut off different types of music or movies or different friends from having those core influences so you can hear, so you can have proper direction. Maybe you just need to open up your eyes to see because you've been looking at this all wrong. You've been looking at this as, what's it about for me? Not about King Jesus. Maybe you just need to be open to receive what Jesus wants to do in you. You've been doing these other things, but you're saying, man, I'm at a place where I know what he wants to pour into me, but I haven't been able to receive it. That could be letting go of fear, letting go of anxiety, letting go of that control so you can allow God to move. Maybe it's that addiction that you face, that struggle that you have that God's already set you free from, but you keep returning back like you're a slave. It takes effort. Maybe it's that healing that needs to come, or that forgiveness that you need to be granting to somebody else. Or maybe it's just casting off the pressures of this world, being open and willing to hear what God wants to do in your life. Whatever it may be, it could be anything. It could be anything. The question is, will you? Will you empty it out so the Lord can fill you this weekend, fill you in this life? This isn't just about those going to winter camp. These are life principles. These are things that if you get now, it's going to benefit you 2 years from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, because they become habits in your life. They become foundation. They become a way of being obedient to Jesus in all that you do. So if you want the Lord to move in your life to accomplish great things, we're going to do this a little bit backwards. Because normally I have you come to the front and sit down. I want you to come to the front, and I want you to stand up. I want you to line this thing. And I want you to begin to just symbolically lay down these issues that you're facing here at the front, here at the altar. Lay them before the Lord, and what's going to happen is the Rage leadership is going to come up, and they're just going to pray over you. Simple prayer that you can have the boldness to do what the Lord's asking you to do, that you can be open to receive. So if that's you, if you're saying, man, I just really want to be open to receive what Jesus wants for me in this life, I invite you to come now.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.